I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're kicking off our summer tasting series. We decided we'd start with a beverage many people associate with summer, beer. Because really, what is a crab feast? What is a baseball game without beer? Am I right? So we walked down the street from our Washington, D.C. offices to RFD. It's in the Chinatown neighborhood. Bartender Aaron Copsey recommended a number of beers, ranging from the exotic to those found in your local grocery store. Since I'm not a beer drinker, I have enlisted some assistance in sampling the Golden Elixir. One of our producers, Jack Zahura. Jack, thanks for helping us out.
My pleasure.
And I won't tell the boss.
No, thank you.
Aaron, thank you for helping us out.
Glad to be here.
Well, Aaron, we know that when you think about choosing a wine, you think about, okay, you choose based on the type of grape used to make it, the varietal, the age maybe. What do you look for in a beer?
Well, generally, I think one of the first things people look for is a lighter beer versus a darker beer. That's kind of one of the distinctions people make. Summertime, wheat beers are very popular. They kind of have more of a citrusy note. Winter times, you go for stronger beers, darker beers that have a little more, you know, a little fuller bodied, a little more alcohol content, give you a little more warming, a little less refreshing.
And one thing that people talk a lot about is hops. Mm-hmm. Why do I care about the hops?
Well, the hops, they add two things to a beer. They add aroma. Some of them are added to provide, you know, floral notes, things like that. They also add bitterness to the beer. They're the main flavoring ingredient in a beer, in addition to yeast. You know, the type of water you use, the type of barley you use also contribute, but hops kind of give it that definitive beer flavor, and that's what kind of defines, you know, a beer from, I don't know, soda or something else.
Beer. Everybody knows the term beer, but I also hear about ale, and I hear about stout. What's the difference between beer, ale, and stout?
Well, basically, all beers they're divided into two categories, ales and lagers, and it depends on the type of yeast used. Lagers tend to be a little more mellow, ales tend to be a little more flavorful. Stouts are just a type of ale. There are dark versions of lagers that are very similar to stouts. There are, you know, like I said, stout just happens to be a dark ale, and there's different varieties of stout as well. But it all depends on the type of yeast used.
Well, speaking of the definitive beer taste, mm-hmm. Some people find it yucky. Some people just don't like the taste of beer. If you think you don't, is there something you should go out of your way to try? Is there some, you know what I mean, is there a variety that you could sort of steer toward that might change your mind?
Well, I think most people, when they say they don't like beer, they're really turned off by the bitterness and actually kind of some of the characteristics of hops. I mean, real beer fans kind of become sort of hop heads, they call themselves. And they like that bitterness. They like the strength and the notes that the hops add. I think a lot of people might want to start off with something lighter, a wheat beer, maybe something with a little fruit note to it, something where there's a lot more fruit-flavored beers out now. Just, you know, and find out what they like.
Well, let's find out what I like.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
We're going to start with the first one. We'll start with the Allagash White. Now, this is a Belgian white-style ale from a brewery in Maine. But it's generally flavored with spices, generally orange peel and coriander, so it's got a little spicy note to it. But, you know, overall, it's a very light beer. You can see it's kind of cloudy because it's not filtered. The yeast is still in there, adding some characteristics to it.
Should we cheers?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. To your health. Cheers.
Thank you.
It's not super bitter. It's not, okay. You know, it's like, yeah, it's got, like I said, you can kind of get a little citrusy, kind of spicy notes.
Jack, what do you think?
Allagash is one of my favorite beers. I'm actually not a big fan of hops myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really like bitter taste. In fact, when I started drinking beer, I was turned off by it first because I had started out with Pilsners, which have more hops and whatnot. So the fact that this is more citrusy, it has a really smooth taste to it. This is one of the ones I probably would order at the bar.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with bartender Aaron Copsey about beers to try for summer. Okay, let's try another one. I guess you want to move down the continuum of
okay. Do we want to stay on the lighter side, or do we want to kind of move to the middle?
Move to the middle.
Okay, we're going to do the Anchor Steam. Actually, let's back up. I'm going to change that entirely. Let's do the Hennepin, the Omegang. This is a brewery out of Cooperstown, New York. This is another Belgian-style beer. This is what's called a Saison. It's a traditional kind of Belgian farmhouse-style ale. It's kind of a summer beer. It's very light. It's going to have some citrusy notes. A little more champagne-like. It's going to be very active. You're going to notice a lot of kind of carbonation. And as you can see, it's a much more active beer than...
When you say active, what do you mean? There's
all
this foam.
Like a lot of Belgian beers, they're bottle conditioned. In other words, they put sugar and yeast into the bottle when they bottle them. And that gives a secondary fermentation process. So the yeast, these beers can be aged. You can actually, you know, cellar them for a while, and they mature and they change characteristics a little bit. But
okay.
So try this one.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Hennepin, this is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask Jack. What do you think?
I might be completely wrong on this, but with this type of beer, we're drinking out of a bottle. You know, would I drink, you know, I like it because it's a little, we've had it in the bottle, it's a little warmer. It's not ice cold. And I like it that way. I'm not sure if you're supposed to drink it warmer, but I like the fact that I can taste a lot of the flavors out of this.
Serving temperature is really...
That's a good question. A lot of people are going to want to know. You think about, in this country, ice cold beer. But in other countries, people don't drink it that way. In fact, they think it's kind of gross. So do you have an opinion about that?
I think most beers, you know, some of the American mainstream lagers, Bud, Miller, things like that, they're great ice cold. A lot of the beers, I find, if you serve them too cold, you don't taste as many of the things. Like, you have to be a certain, you know, temperature to get some of the aromatic notes, some of the nose, some of the taste. You're just not going to taste that when it's ice cold. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, let's move down to the heavier continuum.
Okay. We're going to do, do you want to stick with Belgium, or do you want to try something with a little hoppy?
Your call.
Okay. Actually, we're going to go with the Orval. This is one of my favorite Belgian beers. It's this is actually brewed by monks. It's one of seven Trappist beers. There's only seven breweries in the world that can label their beer as Trappist. It's actually brewed by a particular order of monk. This one is a little hoppier than some of the Belgian Trappist ales. This is the only beer they brew. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, they do brew another one, but you can only get it if you're a monk.
And I'm noticing that the color of this one is a little darker than the ones that we have been trying.
That all depends on the grains used. I mean, this is going to be more barley. The first one was wheat. The Saison, the Hennepin was was barley, but a lighter roast. There's going to be the barley's going to be roasted a little more, and that's the process. You know, you go all the way up to stout, and you really, really roast that barley, and it converts a lot of those sugars that caramelize, and then affects the flavor of the beer. But now that one's very dry. You can notice kind of some hop characters.
But I like it because it's a little clean. I can see this with a spicy dish or to cut something with, if you were eating cheese or something with cheese in it, like a pizza, or if you were eating something with some spice in it, I could see this as taking the edge off. Jack, what do you think?
Well, I like this beer because I'm a vegetarian, and again, with spiciness and whatnot, that goes very well with vegetable dishes where you don't have like a heavy meat or that type of thing. And you were talking about how, you know, it's a little bit of a darker beer. Strength, I guess, is what I'm looking at. It's a little bit stronger.
It is stronger. Too. This beer, I mean, most of your mainstream American beer is going to be between 4 and 5%. This beer is about 6.5, I believe. 6.9. I see it right there.
6.9. You know what? One of the questions I have is, we're talking about pairing beer with food. Mm-hmm. If you don't know a lot about wine and you go to the wine store, and you ask the sommelier and you'll say, "Well, I'm serving this or that," can you get that same kind of guidance on beer? I mean, I'm used to just people running into the 7-Eleven and grabbing a pack, you know, and running out.
So more and more restaurants are adding, you know, nice beer menus to their selections. The people there selling the beers, if they're ordering them, and they're ordering them the kind of volume that we have here in different varieties, they're going to know something about the beers. You know, they're not just picking 300 beers at random. They've put some thought into it. It still kind of works the same way as wine. You're going to want lighter beers with fish or chicken, and, you know, maybe more robust dish, you'll have a heartier beer, darker beer, something like that.
Okay. All right. Speaking of a heartier beer, darker beer, knock my socks off.
Okay. We're going to go to the very end here. We're going to go with the Old Rasputin. This is a Russian Imperial Stout. Now, this is a different style of stout than, say, a Guinness, Guinness is an Irish dry stout. This is an Imperial Stout. You know, you're going to definitely taste the alcohol. Hopefully, there's a lot of richness, a lot of, you know, it's very darkly roasted malt, so there's going to be a lot of caramelized sugar in there.
This looks like molasses.
It is very thick. There's worse, I can tell you that.
I've never seen beer like this.
It's very rich. Again, okay. Just get some like kind of coffee notes.
All right, okay? Here I go.
Now you can see how you might necessarily want to drink that with a salad or something lighter or fish. That's
your facial expression right now.
I'm just waiting for some comment. I don't know.
Jack?
We might need to give her a minute. I don't like dark beers. I'm biased. I mean, it's just not my type of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like coffee. Maybe that could be it. And it looks like coffee. I mean, you can't imagine how thick this is.
I like coffee.
There are plenty of people that you know, you should always drink what you like. I mean, people come in here and they ask why we're serving, you know, why we have certain beers on. And I'm saying, you know, people, I want to make everybody happy. And if I think this is a great beer, and I'm not saying I do. I picked it, but.
It's interesting to look at.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, it looks like coffee with fuzz on it. Jack, what do you think?
The one thing I do like about it is that it has a minimal aftertaste. And with some of the dark beers that are very rich in coffee flavor, the taste stays with you for a long time. And maybe it's just my palate, but Guinness, which is kind of your most popular dark beer, I think, that if I take one sip, I'm done. I'm done. And this I could keep
How
on drinking.
How much alcohol is in this?
This is about 10%.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it's part of the Imperial Stout. The alcohol would act as a preservative, so they'd make a stronger beer because then it could last longer and they were shipping
okay.
it. Okay. So.
How many beers do you have here?
We have about 300, about 30 taps, about 300 bottles. There's a little bit of overlap, so probably about 320 different
okay.
beers total.
Okay. And speaking of which, mm-hmm. Bottle versus draft, is there any... importance to that distinction, except how it's served, the flavor?
There are people who make, I think, I like beers on draft when I can get a beer on draft because it's you know, the things can go wrong with the bottling process. There are some beers that are excellent served in bottles, and like the Orval, the one we had earlier, I don't know that I would have that on draft. It's part of the bottle conditioning, part of the process of making the beer. Okay. They put the yeast and the sugar in the bottle, and so it does its thing in the bottle.
Okay.
You know, there are plenty of people, especially, I find it more with the Buds and the Miller fans is that they love something, they have their particular beer, but they don't want it on draft. You know, I'll say, they'll come in and they'll say, "Do you have Miller Lite?" I say, "Yeah, I have it on draft." They're like, "Ooh, no, I just want a bottle." So I don't know where that comes up. I personally like draft better. I think it's a little fresher. Usually it's, you know, bottles, you know, sometimes they sit around a little bit.
Okay.
It's, you know, depending on where the turnover at your beer store or your
okay.
restaurant.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Is there any beer you think shouldn't even be made, let alone drunk? It's just nasty. Don't even bother.
I don't think so. I mean, like I said, there's a time and a place for every beer. And I don't, you know, whether or not I like the big brewers or the, you know, I've tried a bunch of different beers and I like fancier things. But, no, I don't think it shouldn't be made. I think, you know, there's a reason those beers exist. There's a reason they're the big sellers. And if people like them, you know, it's if they don't have a beer they like at all, then they're never going to try. They're never going to try other beers that they've never tried, a Bud or a Miller Lite. So, no, I think they could do better. I think they're, you know, it's kind of maybe sometimes lowest common denominator, but it's not that it shouldn't be made.
Okay, and finally, everyone doesn't live in a big city like this mm-hmm. with a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you can sample different kinds of beer if you don't live in a major urban area or in an area where people particularly like different kinds of beers?
Well,
there's
a lot of good brew pubs coming up, even in, like, not major urban areas, but more places are, like I said, a lot of restaurants are adding, you know, even in smaller towns are adding nicer beer selections. There's also a lot of good mail order and online resources to get beers. There's Beer of the Month clubs. You can get them to send you a six-pack of different beers. And, you know, they're not necessarily always going to be good, but at least it opens your horizons a little bit and you can try different things.
Well, thank you for opening our horizons.
No problem.
I'm kind of tipsy now, but...
Sorry, it was that last one to put you over the edge.
Okay. Aaron Copsey is a bartender at Regional Food and Drink in Washington, D.C. He was kind enough to guide us through our beer tasting menu. And we also have video of this beer tasting experience. You can see it at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. I want to thank our producer, Jack Zahora, for helping me taste, since you can see I'm a rookie.
Best assignment ever.
Thanks. Thanks, Aaron.
No problem. Thank you.
If you want to try any of the beers we tasted, even the ones I thought were yucky, you can get the list from our website, npr.org/tellmemore. And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.
And I sat there, getting high, stoned, knocked out. And by that time, I looked on the wall at the old clock again, and by that time it was 1:45. The last call for alcohol. I said, "Hey, Mr. Bartender, what do you want?" "Well, one bourbon, one scotch, and one beer."